Hey guys, thanks for checking out my podcast. Let's talk about it. Today we're going to talk about credit, how you can repair your credit, how you can help someone else repair their credit, how to become a credit repair specialist. Just stay tuned. I also have a Facebook group on Facebook, a credit repair group. It's called Future 700 Club. So make sure you hit me up on Facebook. You can hit me up on YouTube. You can Google my name, Sheila Lightford. That's S-H-E-L-I-A-L-I-G-H-T-F-O-R-D. Or you can search for Crown Credit Repair, C-R-O-W-N-E, Credit Repair. I don't have a phone number right now that you could contact me at, but you could also leave a review, leave questions, anything that you need concerning your credit. You can email me at helpmerepairmycredit@gmail.com. I need you guys to tune in on each and every Wednesday. We're going to have different episodes each Wednesday. Like I said, today is going to be about credit repair. So go ahead and share this message. Make sure you follow so you won't hit any other episodes. And again, I thank you guys for listening to my new podcast. Let's talk about it. So let's go ahead and get right into this credit thing. Hey, y'all. Happy hump day. I hope y'all having a good Wednesday. We are going to get into this credit thing today. I'm telling y'all, man, this is such a good topic to talk about because everybody needs good credit. I mean, if you want to have bad credit, that's fine. You can have bad credit. Just go sit down somewhere because this episode right here is for everyone that wants to establish good credit. So all you people who don't care about y'all credit, this ain't for you. So keep having your bad credit and go get your high interest rates and just go tell your mama to continue to put stuff in her name because this ain't what you want if you don't want good credit, okay? This episode is for people who want to establish good credit, all right? Now, I'm going to try to help y'all people with bad credit, all right? And if you want to become a credit repair specialist, I'm going to help you too. I'm going to help you help these people with bad credit, all right? You're going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Good credit, I'm telling you, man. Having good credit is just like having good sex. Man, that thing just so good, Lord. All right, let me get into this credit thing. Just thinking about good credit is just so sexy, Lord. It really is, y'all. Let me stop playing. But it really is, like, man, having like a credit score like in the 700s on up is so sexy, man. Ooh, that thing will do something to you. Ooh, all right, y'all. Let me fan myself, cause ooh, good credit thing, man. It got something, and a man with good credit. Oh, Jesus, oh Jesus, Lord. Hey, if y'all out there in the world and you dating somebody with bad credit and you know y'all gonna be together, like on a personal note, help them get their credit repair. That's the best thing you could do. When I met my husband over 11 years ago, he, you know, his credit score was, it was low. He didn't really know a whole lot about credit. And I've been in this credit game for over 20 years now, so I know how to fix that credit thing. So whoever I'm with, I'm telling you, that's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to ask what your credit looking like, what's your credit score, because if it's not looking right, guess what? I'm going to help you get it right. So women, if y'all with somebody or dating somebody, and even you guys, help them with their credit score. Get educated. Learn. I'm telling you. You can check out my podcast about credit. I gave the information before this, so if you didn't listen to it, then go back and listen to it. But before we get into this credit thing, y'all grab a pen and paper, because I'm going to give out some phone numbers and give you some good information you guys could write down, and you could call the credit bureaus or just whatever the information you need to write down. Just have your pen and paper ready. But right now, let me just talk about credit. You know, growing up, my parents, I watched them work, work, work. But nobody never taught me about credit. I noticed growing up, my mom kept a new car. I think that's what's wrong with me. I'm always buying like the latest. But my mom, I guess she had good credit, you know. And my dad, military. Yeah, he got his VA loan for the mortgage. So I guess my parents had decent credit because, you know, we lived in some cool places. We drove some cool cars. But you know what? They never told us about credit. They never taught us about credit. They never was like, look, girl, let me tell you about this credit thing. Ain't nobody never told me about that. I had to figure that out on my own. And I was like, 17? I was 17 years old. Because I had my first apartment at 17. I didn't know nothing about nothing. My mom taught me a lot, but nobody still told me about the credit thing. You know, I mean, they told us how to work hard and save your money up. But if y'all would have told me about credit back then, I promise you I would have had an 800 credit score by 20. I'm telling you, I'm serious. I'm serious about this thing. But that's okay. We're going to learn about it now. But teach your kids at an early age. I'm teaching my boys, they're 8 and 9, about credit. I taught my daughter. I'm teaching my niece. And between my niece and my daughter, the information I've given them growing up, before high school and afterwards, I see a difference. I mean, I see it, you know, they were able to go out and get their own places and stuff. I'm like, okay, you know, I told you about the credit thing. So, yeah, I'm teaching my boys now. So, y'all teach your kids about credit. And again, if you are, you know, in a relationship with somebody that you see yourself with this person, ask them what their credit score is. If they don't know what their credit score is, teach them about credit. Please, y'all, do that. Teach them about credit. I taught my husband about credit. His credit score is 800 now. He can go out and get what he want. But he's so conservative too. He's like, he lives in his means, which is fine. And I was able to go out and purchase, you know, some stuff with my credit score. But I want my credit score higher. And there's nothing wrong with that. So let me just get into credit. So, let me give you the definition of credit. Credit is the ability of a customer to obtain goods or services before payment based on the trust that payment will be made in the future. Which means that if a company extends you credit, that means they're going to give you the money up front now, and you can go out and buy what you want, and you just pay them back later. That's basically it. That's what credit is. Why do you need good credit? Well, can y'all think of some reasons why you need good credit? I'll give you some. To finance a car, to rent an apartment, to buy a home, utility accounts like light bills, water, all of that stuff, because they check credit. Some employers check credit, and for low interest rates. Employers, I'm kind of mad at that because they shouldn't check credit. Like, people will judge you on their credit. And I think it's so unfair for a job to check you. But I think that's like that. For them, I think it's a process of elimination when they check your credit. Because you know what? I had a job like way back. Well, I applied for a job. And I was offered the position until they checked my credit. And when they checked my credit, they figured out that I had owed one of their sister companies some money. And they declined my offer. And I'm like, why? I mean, y'all could have worked with me to pay your sister company back or just something. I just thought that I didn't like that. But there are companies out there that will check your credit. Finance on a car. My car, I mean, I've owned several cars, but my latest car is, it's not my dream car, but it's a nice car. And I paid, you know, I didn't even pay $30,000 for my car because I bought it pre-owned. But, my car was over $20,000 and, my payment was low because I had a decent credit score and I was able to afford it. Like, it's really not a big deal to me, but it's sad because I see people out there with other types of vehicles that don't compare to mine and they're paying so much more. And I'm like, wow, like I when I was younger, like in my 20s, I didn't know about credit. So if I go to the car lot, if I got a 20% interest rate, it's like, I don't care because I got a car. But y'all, that 20% interest rate is high as heck. And that's not a good deal for any type of car loan. So that's one of the good reasons why that you guys need to repair your credit and establish good credit. So, you know, you can get a lower rate financing your car. Utilities. If you have bad credit, they're going to make you pay a deposit. Some people can't afford a freaking deposit. You know what I'm saying? And then they'll give it back to you, what, a year later? But who waited a whole year? Like, no. So, that's another reason. If you had decent credit, you know these utility companies won't ask you for a deposit. They'll put you, like, on a budget billing. Budget billing is for people with, you know, decent payment history and good credit. And that budget billing is way less than what people just pay for with bad credit. I'm like, for real, for real. So utility bills, yeah, they getting over you. Don't you know if you got bad credit, there are lenders, all types of institutions that make money off of your bad credit through their interest rate? It's messed up. I mean, this credit thing gets deep because the credit bureau, they're a business. When you think of the three credit bureaus, think of a business. You know they get paid off of people with bad credit? I mean, have y'all ever noticed or like, you know, those offers you get in the mail, you know, apply for this, blah, blah, blah. And the credit bureau is selling your information to people who want you to purchase their service or something. And they make money off of y'all. People with good credit, they get perks and points and they get all kind of stuff, rewards. Those perks and rewards, you could do all kinds of things like get free hotel rooms, fly for free. I'm telling y'all, that credit thing, y'all better try to get it. Get it, because you can save a lot of money. If you got good credit, it's all types of perks and rewards. People with bad credit, it's so many people making money off of us, and it's just bad because y'all know why. All right. Let me go over the credit scores with y'all. I'm going to tell y'all what's good and what's bad. Credit starts from 300 on up to like 850. So if you are in the range of 300 to 579, you have bad, poor, terrible credit. Yep. You fall in that category. That's what you're labeled as. And you know what? Don't apply for nothing, because chances are you won't get approved unless there are some conditions, unless you have money. Okay, so get your credit repaired and jump into a higher bracket so you won't be charged so much interest or whatever the case may be. Now, fair credit is in the range of 580 through 669. Good credit is in the range of 670 through 739. Very good credit is 740 through 799. And excellent credit. Excellent. Let me tell y'all something. When you have excellent credit, do you know you could go anywhere and apply for something and they won't ask you for nothing? They go by your credit. When I purchased my car, I ain't had to stand there all day. I was like, this is what I want. This is what my credit score is. I gave them a little trade-in. I wasn't giving them nothing else. I mean, here's my trade-in. What can you do for me? And they gave me what I want. I didn't have to stay there all day. And I got my car. And they didn't verify my employment. They didn't care where I worked or if I even had a job. I'm telling y'all, when you get in that bracket, 800 through 850, excellent credit, they're not going to ask you nothing. They're just going to look at your score and be like, what you want and how fast do you want it? It's possible for anybody to have that. And there's certain ways to get there, and I'm going to explain that to you later. But having very good credit will do that same thing for you, because my credit score wasn't over 800. My credit score was between 740 through 799 when I started going out in the world purchasing stuff, because I was so used to, you know, driving my husband cars, and, you know, I was a married woman, so I'm like, I don't need to go out and get that. But at one point, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go out and get my own. And I did. And I had very good credit. And they didn't ask me where I worked. So when you in that category, very good and excellent credit, it's less paperwork. It's less waiting. You have more options. So it's not impossible to get there. Stick with me. I'll show you how to get there. I'm telling you. Now, I know y'all heard of FICO score and Vantage score. When you think of Vantage score, think of Credit Sesame and what's the other thing? Credit Sesame and I forgot. Y'all know the other one. Oh my God, I can't think of it. Credit Sesame, Credit Karma. That's what it is. That's their Vantage scores. FICO score is like my FICO. But the difference is FICO is Fair Isaac Corporation. It's the largest and best known of several companies that provide software for calculating a person's credit score. That's what FICO is. VantageScore is a consumer credit scoring model created through a joint venture of the three major credit bureaus. And the three major is Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. The model is managed and maintained by an independent company, VantageScore Solutions. And that company was formed in 2006. So they ain't really been around long. And is jointly owned by the three credit bureaus. So that's what the FICO and the VantageScores really are. So I'm going to give you an example on why is it important to have good credit versus bad credit concerning your interest rate. Let's just say, for instance, you see a car at the dealership and it's $20,000. Let's say your credit score is a five. Let's say it's under 600. It's between 500 to 600. You already know you're going to get a high interest rate with that credit score, because 500 through 600 That's poor. Okay. And it's also very poor, very poor. It falls under very poor and poor. So you already know your interest rate is going to be jacked up. Your interest rate is going to be over 20% versus if you had a credit score of over, let me say if your credit score is over 650 is fair. I mean, you still won't get an interest. Not as bad as 25% or something like that. Let's just say you had a 700. 700 is good credit. Let's say you walk in the dealership with 700. You know your interest rate is going to be about 6%, or it could be lower. It ain't going to be over 20%. You know you're going to save over $200 versus having good credit and bad credit on that car that costs $20,000. That's bad. Like, your car payment for that 500 credit score, 500 to 600 credit score, it's going to be over $500. Versus good credit, it's going to be under 400. So that's the difference. You're going to save a lot of money if you have good credit, especially if you're trying to purchase a car. Now, another thing that you guys need to know is, how do the credit bureaus determine your credit score? Okay, now, let's say you ordered all three of your credit reports and you have a 600 on this report, a 610 on one, and a 630 on your third report. How? Well, this is how. The credit bureaus, think of a pie. A pie. And it's going to be split up into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces. This pie is going to be split up into your payment history, the debt and available credit, how long you've had your credit, what type of credit card you have, and the frequency of credit applications. It's split up into those 5 pieces of pie. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. That's how it's split up. Now, the biggest piece of your pie is your payment history. If you laid on a payment every month, guess what? It's going to affect you the most. That takes up 35% of that pie. The debt and available credit, that's like, let's say for instance, you got a credit card. Your credit card limit is 500 and you're maxed out, or you're at 400. You spend 400, you got $100 available to use. That takes up the next biggest portion of 30%. 15% of that pie takes up, it's determined how long you've had your credit. Like, a lot of people don't establish credit until they're older. That's why it's best to establish credit at a younger age, because you'll have that length. Your length makes a difference. One thing I hate about my credit is that they don't count your student loans, because I have student loans. I went to college. How old was I when I went to college? I think I was like 20 when I started college. So they didn't calculate that length. They didn't start calculating my length of credit until, you know what, about 5 years ago. So on my credit, it's like I have 5 years of credit. And I'm like, that's a lot. I had credit way back in the days. But it's determined, like, let's say for instance, you opened up a credit card 5 years ago. Well, that's called an open revolving account. So they based your length on accounts like that. They wouldn't base it on like a car, because let's just say you bought a car 5 years ago. When it closes, guess what? That length disappears. That's why your credit score drop a little bit, because when account closes, the length, it disappears. So It goes by an account that you opened that's revolving, that's still open. Like mine, my student loans, it doesn't reflect my length. Because if it did, and I think that's not fair, they know what they're doing. Because if it did, I would have over 10 years of good credit, you know. But it don't go by student loans. I mean, if anybody out there think it does, let me know, because I'll dispute that, like, for real. Okay, now, 10% goes by what types of credit cards that you have, and that's called a mix of cards. So when you're establishing credit, or if you have credit already, and if you just got credit cards, because a lot of people, they just want credit cards. Y'all got to get more than a credit card. And what I mean by that, go get a store card. Go purchase a card from your favorite store. Like me, I used to love shopping TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Home Good. You know they got a credit card for all three of them stores, one credit card. You go apply TJ Maxx for a card, they'll start you off. And you go shop at any of them three stores because they're sister companies. So that's what they mean by a mix. Like, you got your credit card, you got your TJ Maxx card. You know, yeah, a mix of cards other than credit cards. It's crazy. Well, like, I guess they want to see you pay your debts off in different ways. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me why they need to see a mix. But hey, your score depends on it, 10%. And the other 10% is your frequency of credit applications. That's your inquiries. So your inquiries, let's just say you went to get a car and, you know, man, they probably about to put about 20 inquiries on your credit. But, you know, when you buy a car, all those, if you do it the same day, it's not going to be as bad as you think it is. It's supposed to be considered one, but it's not as bad as you think it is. Just don't go every day. So I would advise y'all, if you're buying a car, do wake up early and do that. Do everything in one day, because all of those inquiries, they only represent 10% of your credit. That's it. It's not that bad. Your credit score is going to go down, but it's not that bad. And if you do it the same day, it's going to fall in that 10% bracket. That's it. It's not that bad. It's not as bad as you think. So do it the same day. Get up early and shop that whole day. And don't worry about if they're going to pull your, it's only 10%, I'm telling you. And they fall off in 2 years. Man, them 2 years come so quick. Like, for real. They come quick. So don't feel bad when you do it. It's only 10%. And you can dispute it later. I'll tell you how. All right. So, yeah, that's that pie. Now, you got all the information about what credit is, how it's determined, how is your score determined. So, what do you want to do next? You got some bad items on your score? You want to know what your score is? Well, there are some free systems out there. I mentioned two of them earlier, Credit Sesame and Credit Karma. They're free. I mean, they're Vantage scores, but they're okay. I mean, it's like a guide. So you could download those sites today and keep up with your credit scores. So it's, like I said, it's a guide. It's cool. But if you want to know like your true accurate score, FICO, that's the best score. That's the FICO is your true score. And myfico.com, they're going to give you a true score. But I wouldn't recommend that unless you're trying to buy a home. Or I wouldn't even recommend it if you're buying a car, because they got their own scoring system for a car. So if you're trying to buy a home, then download myfico.com. That's not free. You're going to pay for that. So, yeah, I mean, if you want your credit scores, then download it and pay for it. But I wouldn't. I mean, unless I'm buying a home. Otherwise, I'm just going to download Credit Karma and Credit Sesame and just, you know, look at my scores. I've heard a lot of people say the scores are low on Credit Karma and Credit Sesame, but that's fine. It's just a guide to try to kind of show me, you know, where it's at. So once you download that, go ahead and order your credit reports. Y'all got a pen ready? I'm going to give you the number. You could order all three of your credit reports or you go online. But me, I like to order it because you see more detailed of what's going on your credit. And that number is 1-877-322-8228. Let me repeat it. The phone number to order all three of your credit reports from the three major credit bureaus, you will get it between, I think they say up to 10 days. That's not bad. You'll get it pretty soon, within 2 weeks. 1-877-322-8228. Or you can go online to order your credit reports. If you go online, print them out before you log out of that site. Do all three. Print them out. They're going to ask you questions now, so you better know them. They're going to be on your credit report. So if you don't remember, just order them. But the online site is annualcreditreport.com. So that's how you order your reports. Now, if y'all got a bankruptcy, there's a fourth credit bureau out there you need to order it from, and that's called LexisNexis. LexisNexis is another reporting agency that they report. They still got stuff on. They report stuff. They report collections. Your bankruptcy is, they report a lot of public liens, tax liens and bankruptcies, that type of stuff. So if you got a bankruptcy or some type of tax lien on your credit, you need to order your reports from LexisNexis. And that website is personalreports.lexis. And Lexis is LEXIS and Nexis is NEXIS.com. So again, it's personal reports with a S dot LexisNexis.com. Call them. Let me give you a number. You call them too. Call them at 1-888-395-0277. And wait, is that the number to LexisNexis or SageStream? Because SageStream is another one. You know what? Okay, you got that number? That number is for SageStream. So if you got a bankruptcy, go to LexisNexis online because they're going to send you a form, or you can fill out your form online and they'll send you your information. They'll send you your LexisNexis credit report. But SageStream is another one that you go to if you want to dispute a bankruptcy. And that number, again, is 1-888-395-0277. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at my little step-by-step do-it-yourself credit repair guide. It's called How to Repair Your Credit. I made this a while back. And this is what I'm going by. So if you want a copy of what I'm going over, email me. My email is helpmerepairmycredit@gmail.com, and I'll forward you this copy. And I'm going to take a break real quick, and I'll be right back, y'all. So hang tight. Hold on. Hey, guys. I'm back. So let's get back into this credit repair stuff here. Now, I gave you the information on why you should have good credit or establish good credit. I gave you the information on how to check your credit scores. I gave you the phone numbers and the website to order your credit reports. And if you have a bankruptcy, you need to also order it from that fourth credit bureau, which is LexisNexis, and freeze your account with SageStream. It's going to take anywhere from 2 weeks to get your reports in the mail. And when you do get them, wait for all of your reports. If you don't have a bankruptcy, you're only going to wait for Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. If you have a bankruptcy, you're going to wait for all four. So once you get those reports, you pretty much just have to lay them all out and decide which accounts you're going to dispute. I would dispute like three accounts at a time. If you got a section of like, let's say medical bills, because that's a big thing on a lot of people's credit report, and you got like five medical collection accounts, go ahead and dispute them all. That's fine if you dispute them all at one time. And just wait until they come back and then go on to the next group of accounts or whatever. But dispute like three more after that. Don't dispute everything at one time when you're starting off, because it's going to pose a red flag to the credit bureaus. They're going to be like, ah, credit repair. And then they might just flag it and be like, ah, credit repair account. So just do on the safe side. Start off with three. And don't dispute any open accounts. Always dispute closed negative accounts. Now, I'm going to tell you what to look for on the credit reports. Now, let's say you're going to open up your Experian account first. On your Experian account, they're going to fall under credit items. Those are bad accounts. TransUnion, they're going to fall under adverse accounts. And collection is going to fall under Equifax. So those, all of those account types that I mentioned, those are bad accounts on those credit reports. Again, adverse accounts, they're going to fall on your TransUnion. They're bad accounts. Credit items are going to fall on your Experian. They're bad accounts. And collection items are going to fall on your Equifax. They're bad accounts. Anything under public records are bad. Tax liens are bad. Bankruptcies are bad. Anything under public records are bad. Dispute those last, because they may take a little more time. But, man, those are bad. Bad, bad, bad. Now, if you got your credit report and you don't have credit, just try to establish some. Google some secured cards. I'm hearing that Discover is a good one. You may put a deposit down, but that deposit is going to go towards your credit. So it's your money. You're going to spend it, but don't max that card out. Just buy gas or something every month and keep it moving until you build and get another card. Look out for your utilization rate. And your utilization rate is like the difference between your balance and your utilization rate is the difference between your balance and the amount of your card. Let me give you an example how to calculate it. I can't say it, but I could give you an example of it. Now, this is how to calculate your utilization rate. And your utilization rate is going to be like you got an open credit card or something. You got to make sure that a lot of people say under 30% is fine, but I would get it as low as possible. But don't keep it open. I would say keep it about 10%. But how do you determine that? Is you divide the credit card balance by the credit card limit. That's what I was trying to think of, the credit card limit. Let's just say your credit card limit is $1,000 and your balance, the balance is what you owe, is $600. You would just divide $600 by $1,000 and you would get your utilization rate, which this particular example, that's going to be 60%. So the utilization rate on that card is 60% and it's high. And if you pay that card down to about $200, your score going to jump up. It's some other stuff you need to look on your credit reports once you have them in front of you. It's a section on there. It's like your, I think it's the personal information section. And it's some stuff you need to look on there. You need to make sure that your name and everything is spelled right. Your social security number is right. You need to get rid of all those old addresses. I've seen people with like 20 old addresses. Get rid of them because they're attached to collection accounts. So the key to that, to have them removed more easily, is to delete those old addresses. You need to also check for misspellings of your name. Incorrect marital status. Like, if you were formerly married, remove your Old Spice. I'm saying Old Spice. Remove your spouse's name from your credit report if you guys are no longer together. Get his name off. Get her name off. Birth date, social security, those stuff should be right. They should not be incorrect. Get them changed. You can call the credit bureau for this portion and tell them to remove all of this old stuff. You don't want it. Just tell them it's not supposed to be there. It does not belong to me. It's wrong. And I no longer live at those addresses. They don't belong to me. So call them. Their phone numbers, Equifax, is 866-349-5191. Again, it's 866-349-5191. That's Equifax. Experian is 877-284-7942. Again, Experian is 877-284-7942. TransUnion is 800-916-8800. Again, it's 800-916-8800. Don't be afraid to call the credit bureau. Tell them to remove that stuff. Like, just, no, it doesn't belong to me. That's all you need to say. And they will remove it. If you're having trouble with them removing it, call back and speak to somebody else. But please get that stuff moved. Highlight all of that personal information stuff. And that's the first thing you need to get removed from your credit reports if you want this credit repair process to go smooth. Get them stuff removed. Now, the public record sections, that information, like I mentioned, is like a bankruptcy. It could be like a lawsuit or a judgment, a tax lien. It could even be a mechanics lien or a paid tax lien. You want nothing under that public record. It's like if you have a public record, you can't get nothing because people judge you for that. Try to get them things removed off your credit, y'all. If anything, fight to get those public records off your credit. Them the main things you need off your credit because they judge you off of those public records the most. They're bad. They're terrible on your credit. Get them removed for real. Other accounts you need to look for on your credit reports that are reporting bad. Commingle accounts, they're like accounts with somebody's name that's similar to yours, and it may not be yours. It could be somebody with the same name that was stuck on your credit report. And that could happen. That happened to me before. Like, my name is common because my name is Sheila and my maiden name is Lewis. And I once had somebody named Sheila Lewis in Alpharetta who had a loan on my account. This woman had like 3 loans, but they were paid off. And I was like, they can stay on as long as she don't be late. As long as they're in good standing, Sheila Lewis from Alpharetta could remain on my credit. But have them removed because they're not supposed to be there if they're not yours. That's an easy dispute right there. Joint accounts. Man, it's so many people who co-signed and the buyer messed up their credit. You can dispute that. I wouldn't care if now that's an account that I would dispute if it's open is a joint account that's in bad standing. I would dispute that. You don't want your name joint to anyone's credit that are late on their credit and it's just bad. So dispute that. I would dispute that. What else you need to look for? You need to look for fraud on your credit. If it's something that you absolutely have no recollection of applying for, dispute that. Dispute it, dispute it, dispute it. I have a fraud letter in my kit that's pretty good. It works pretty great. But look for that. Look for those. Those are pretty easy. The credit bureau, you're supposed to fill out like an affidavit for those types of accounts with the company first before you dispute it. And if the company really, if you have fraud on your credit report, deal with the company first. If it's a true fraud, then call the company for an affidavit of forgery. And they're going to send you a packet, get you a police report. Police report, they're not going to do too much of anything. They're just going to take your information and give you a report. Turn that information in to the company. And they're supposed to remove it. They can remove it quicker than you can dispute it. So I've seen that happen before. So if you got fraud, start with the company. Don't dispute yet. Get that fraud affidavit kit. Call them and ask for it. You can also look out for incorrect account histories, such as, let me see what I have here. Late payment notation when you've paid on time. Like I said, that is 35% of your credit. So if you see something on there that you've paid on time and is reporting late, dispute that. What else that you could dispute? You could also dispute like a voluntary surrender versus a repossession. If it shows and a lot of car companies are good for this. You could call them and be like, I want to do a voluntary, and then they'll put a repo on your credit. It won't say voluntary. You could dispute that. What else you could dispute? You could dispute your credit card charges on your bill if it's something that like if your balance is wrong, or if anything is just wrong on your, and now I'm talking about closed accounts now, not no open account. Like if you got a closed credit card, these are like examples I'm giving you for reasons why you could dispute these items on your credit. So if you have like a credit card that's closed that you're trying to dispute, you can dispute like the balance, but you don't have to tell them it's supposed to be this versus that. You could dispute the balance, the payments, something like that. Because you, when you dispute items, you got to have a reason to dispute, or else they're going to be like, well, we're going to need more information from you while you're disputing this account. So these are just some reasons, but again, I have agents that will help you with this, so you can get in touch with me. You can email me at helpmerepairmycredit@gmail.com. Now, what else do we need to talk about with this credit thing? I did mention that you need dispute letters. You can Google them, or you could order them from me, as I mentioned earlier. Now, if you're filling out the dispute letter, it's best to fill it out on a computer through Word document. They're pre-filled, so you just add your name, your address, your social, the date, where you're sending it to, and the accounts that you're disputing. The verbiage, everything else is already in the letter. So you just need to read over it and just add and type in your information. That's all. That's how the dispute letters work out, if you want to do it yourself, or if you want to Google the letters or purchase them. Don't spend a lot of money on letters, because I wouldn't spend over $50 on letters, because pretty much the letters are, they've got the same stuff, but they're just worded differently. But the main thing is knowing the law and the section of the law. So That's the best part about the letters. And a lot of people, they're not going to let you see their letters because you could duplicate it and send it off yourself. That's why they don't let you see them. So, yeah, don't spend a whole lot on letters. When you send off your first round of disputes, and if everything's removed, congratulations. If everything's not removed, then you're going to send another round of letters. That's called your round two. Always send a different letter. Every round you send, send a different letter. What else can I go over? Now, sometimes they're going to ask you for proof of like your name and address. You can send them a copy of your license. Yeah. Always start off with disputing with the credit bureaus first. Unless you have a fraud, then start off with the company. Don't ever start off sending anything to the accounts first. Some other things is when you send off your disputes with the credit bureaus, they're going to contact the companies, and the companies have like 30 days to respond, and if they don't, they have to remove it by law and they can't report it back to your credit, or the credit bureaus could be held liable. Now, if you have a collection account, let's just say you had a Sprint phone and you closed it and you successfully had it deleted from a collection company. Let's just say this collection company is called A, collection company A. You successfully got it deleted. Yay, it's removed from your account. You know, they could resell that debt to collection company B and they could put it back. So, yeah, that's happened. It could be added back, but it has to be another company added back. It can't be the same company. Or, like I mentioned, the credit bureaus can be held liable. But if that happens, then you could dispute that company again, that company B. And if you're just tired of doing it over and over, then call the original company and be like, look, I want to pay for a deletion. And then what they'll do is get in touch with the credit, with the collection company, and be like, hey, she wants to make a deal. We let us get the collection back, blah, blah, blah. And they'll strike a deal with you. But when you do a pay for delete, make sure you get everything in writing or tell them to send you email, and then go ahead and send in the payment. Because like I mentioned, not everything's going to get removed, but it's all, you could always negotiate with this stuff. That's one of the best things about credit repair, is that if you can't get it removed, you can negotiate. So, but make sure you get it, get a letter or get something in writing or record a conversation. Just get it some way, somehow, by all means necessary, that, hey, we're going to lead it if you pay it. So get that. Let me see any other tips that I could give it. I know a lot of people have questions with repossessions. If you have a repossession on your credit, you could start off with a 609 letter, but when the credit bureaus get too aggressive, you know, indicating that the company has responded and they're saying that it's your debt or whatever, then you can, there's like certain letters for repos that you could send that you can make the company send you the information, because this is a certain step. Like when your car get repo, they're going to send that car to auction. I used to work in an office. I used to work for Honda and Acura back in the days. And I understand that process because I worked in it. But it's certain steps that these companies got to take when they repossess your car. Don't ever think your car is just sitting around there and it's like you owe that entire balance. No. They auction it. I don't care if they get 2 cents for it. They got to bill you the balance. The balance is called a deficiency balance. And that's what you're responsible for, really, is that deficiency balance. You're not responsible for the full balance of that car. Some places be like, nah, we don't want the car back because they know the car is not worth anything. And they know that they're not going to get the money back from an auction. So if you ever heard like a company say, nah, we don't want the car back, you can keep it. That's why, because they're not going to make no money back. But that deficiency balance is what you owe. And what's going to happen is, it's a process. That stuff don't happen overnight. So, if your car just recently got repoed, and rather it's voluntary or involuntary. Voluntary is when you tell them to come pick it up. Involuntary is when they just pick it up. Regardless, don't start disputing them right away. Wait. Give it some time. I'm telling you, this credit repairing is not an overnight fix. You're going to have to wait until certain items report to your account so you can review them and see how they're reporting. And if they're not reporting right, then you dispute. And you have valid reasons to dispute, and your chances will become higher if you know what you're disputing, how to dispute it, what letters to send. Your chances are higher, so they can remove it. So it's a process they have to go through. So wait, check on the status. If you notice that they're billing you for the entire balance on that car, then dispute them and give them reasons why. You can even hand write a dispute letter to the credit bureaus. That's another thing. You can hand write them. It's best, honestly, if you hand write them. I don't care if it's 3 paragraphs. You can do that. You can hand write them. But it's always best to wait to see how they're going to report it. Just wait. Because you should not be responsible for the entire balance of that car, only the deficiency balance of that car. And if that particular company is not reporting it right, then they have to remove it, because it's certain steps and guidelines per the state that they have to go through to report that. So repos, give it some time. Make sure that they're closed accounts, they're charged off. Make sure that they're reporting it right, whether it's voluntary or involuntary. And make sure that balance is not the entire balance that you paid for the car or what's left. You should only be charged the deficiency balance. So if you're disputing that, you could dispute that balance. And it's certain letters out here too. I have them in my group. If you're in my group is Credit Repair Help Future 700 Club. It's in the files. So I have repo letters in my group. There's a, if you have a bankruptcy, let me go over that real quick, because there's certain steps that you gotta take. Bankruptcy's gonna take a while too. If you could remove a bankruptcy the first time, hallelujah. Like, go out and have a drink, or I don't know, some dinner, treat yourself. Congratulations, because bankruptcies take a while, because you gotta do a little more. You gotta dispute them different from other accounts that are on your credit. But steps in a bankruptcy, once you order all 3 of your credit reports, and the 4th report that I mentioned, LexisNexis, and you froze your credit report from SageStream. Hold on 1 sec, y'all. Okay. Once you order those, what you'll need to do, I did mention that you guys need to remove the, this is important. This is an important step with the bankruptcy. You got to remove all of your addresses, because those accounts are linked to accounts that are probably included on your bankruptcy. Remove those, all your old accounts. Make sure you freeze them. You got to freeze it with Sage Stream. That number again is 1-888-395-0277. I would even freeze it with Innovus. Their number is 1-800-540-2505. And I have a number for LexisNexis. It's 1-888-497-9172. Freeze all three of them and order your reports with LexisNexis. They got a whole bunch of other ones on here. But if y'all want to freeze them too, if y'all want to, I mean, you can, but once I give you the information, what you'll need to do, then, it's totally up to you, but I'm gonna give you the steps. There's another company, you need to freeze it with. It's called CoreLogic Credo. Don't laugh at me, y'all. Man, I said it the first time. The number is 1-877-532-8778. Factor Trust, their number is 1-866-910-8497. And last but not least, Clarity Services, 1-866-390-3118. Reports, LexisNexis, freeze everything else I mentioned. Just call and be like, I want my reports frozen. Don't tell them why. Just tell them you want them frozen. Okay, now, once you froze all of them accounts and they give you confirmation that they're frozen or whatever, and you got your reports back, all four of your reports, send a validation letter to the credit bureaus. That's in my credit kit, but you could Google it too, validation letter. Then wait for the response from the credit bureaus. I told you it's going to take anywhere from 30 days to get it back. And if the credit bureau responds to you that is verified with the bankruptcy, then you got to send the clerk of court a letter to the courthouse. This is wherever your public record is listed at. And send the method of validation back to the credit bureaus. So that means once you send the letter to the clerk of court, they're going to respond back to you with a letter indicating that, well, you know, we don't report this, that, blah, blah, blah. But once you send off that letter to the clerk of court, send back a letter, a method of verification to the credit bureaus and ask them how did they process it. That letter will explain all. So again, let me go over that one more time. Once you got all your information, once you froze all your accounts with your bankruptcy, send a validation letter to the credit bureaus. Okay? You could Google that. Or it's in my kit. Okay, excuse me, y'all. When you get the information back from the credit bureau, they're going to say that it's verified. If they remove it, hallelujah. If they say it's verified, then send a letter to the clerk of court of the courthouse that's listed in your public records. You could Google clerk of court letter, or it's in my kit. Okay, that's one letter. Now send the method of verification back to the credit bureaus. It may sound confusing, but like I said, it's a process. So send that back to the credit bureaus. Now, when you receive a reply back from the courthouse, they're gonna send a letter back, and that letter is going to kind of tell you that they don't report to the credit bureaus or whatever. Take that letter and send it to the credit bureau only if they still haven't removed it after the method of verification letter. So you have to wait for the for the credit bureau to send you that method of verification letter back. And then if the credit bureaus still refuse to remove the bankruptcy, then you file a complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And they're known as CFPB. So their website is consumerfinance.gov/complaint. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. You could Google that. So, that's the bankruptcy process. It's a process, y'all, but it's worth it because I've actually seen, you know, some clients' bankruptcies removed with this process. So, it's, yeah, I mean, it's worth it. It's worth it. I would say try it. And again, those letters are in my kit. Or you could Google them. What else can I go over? Yeah, let me think of some questions. I'm just trying to think of anything that I missed and also go over some questions. I gave you guys the number to order your credit reports. You got to stop applying for credit. That's major. Don't apply for no credit. If you got bad credit, just stop applying for credit. Just wait. There's another thing out there. If you got bad checks, you could request your reports from Check Systems. It's chexsystems.com. You could dispute that. I told you how to keep track of your score. Credit Karma, Credit Sesame. Privacy Guard is okay. The first 13 days is $1. But you would do that if you're doing credit repair with somebody whoever they suggest. What else can I go over? Told you how to prep your accounts. If I didn't, once you get your credit reports, just kind of prep them. Get a highlighter and go over, like, the accounts that I mentioned, late payments, old addresses, inquiries. Go over them. The order of dispute I would dispute in is, like, names, addresses, old names, like aliases, phone numbers. Tell them to remove them. Don't leave your phone number on your credit reports. And then I would just go after the accounts after those are removed. Do the tax liens and bankruptcies. Do that last because that's going to take a while. Do those last. Just make sure you just send out the dispute letters. Wait. If you need help, reach out to somebody. And if you're if you want to become a credit repair agent, everything that I mentioned, this is what you're going to have to do to your clients. And I would recommend everyone to join as many credit repair groups as you can, but don't always listen to what everyone has to say because everyone's credit situation is different. Always speak to a specialist. Speak to somebody that has a lot of knowledge in credit repair. Don't ever hesitate to email me or email any of my agents. Sometimes, you know, all advice isn't good advice. Make sure you speak to somebody knowledgeable, but don't be afraid to ask somebody, well, how long have you been doing this? And what are your results? You know, and you know what? Don't be afraid to ask questions. Just ask because credit repair is a process. We're always going to learn about this. It's forever changing. So, I mean, it's like we're learning together. The agents, we're still learning with you guys. So it's a process. Don't give up. Keep going. If something isn't removed from your credit report, keep going from round to round. I'm telling you, they'll give up eventually. Now, some of the letters that you guys could Google and some of the letters that I offer, I have the address removal letters. That's for the addresses, or you could call the credit bureau, as I mentioned. The verified letter, method of validation, which is also known as the 611 letter. That letter is for the credit bureaus. The 609 letter is for the credit bureaus. I know everyone heard of the 609 letter. If you haven't, that's for the bureaus. That's a good dispute letter. Debt validation, that's for collection accounts only. And the debt validation letter is if you have like a correspondence. Let's just say you get a whole bunch of letters from collection companies, not from the credit bureau. Just letters from these companies, creditors. You would send this debt validation letter to them. And it's good if you could send, it's okay if you send it certified. You don't have to send certified letters to the credit bureau. But to these collection companies and stuff, you could send certified mail to them. That's just to keep a track of the date. So I would advise you to send it to them. And make sure they respond within 30 days of that date. Because if they didn't, then it has to be removed from your credit report. So, again, this debt validation letter is for collection account only. And that's to prove to you, you know, how did you incur the debt? Like, they're going to have to prove to you. And just because they send you a receipt or nothing, that's not good enough. You can still dispute that. You could take that information and send it to the credit bureaus and be like, look, this isn't proof. I gave this company 30 days to, you can handwrite it if you want. I gave this company 30 days to prove that this is my debt, and they didn't. They sent me a receipt. This isn't mine. I need it removed from my credit. So that's how that would work. HIPAA letters is, they're for medical disputes only. You wouldn't send a HIPAA letter to like a repo account. That's strictly medical related accounts. You could Google that if you want. Goodwill letter, that's like, use that very, very last. If you got like accounts that are past due or late and they're open, if you tried everything and they won't remove it, then send a goodwill letter. That letter goes to like the original creditors, only original creditors. And it pretty much explains to them that, you know, you had some type of hardship or whatever, and you would like it removed. You'll never be late in your life again. I don't know. Just, you could write it or just use a goodwill letter from online or in my kit. Pay to delete letter. I mentioned earlier, you could negotiate with a company and tell them that, hey, I'll give you 2 cents if you remove this from my credit bureau. And if they be like, hey, we'll take your 2 cents, then you got that letter as proof. Pay them their 2 cents. And if they don't remove it, take that proof and send it to the credit bureaus. I'm just saying 2 cents, but I wouldn't waste my time paying 2 cents. Okay, some more tips before I get out of here, because I don't want to hold y'all too long. Is it's the holidays right now, so the best time to send disputes is now, because people are taking vacation and they're lazy now. They just want to go home. It's the holidays, and, you know, send it now, because they're gonna be taking a lot of days off, and a lot of big people are off. And I don't care when you send a dispute letter to the credit bureaus, they have 30 days to get this information verified. So send it now, because the mail's gonna be slow. Use colored paper. If you use colored paper, write a letter. I mean, that's gonna get kicked out of eOscar. eOscar is like an electronic machine that inputs all the letters, and it kind of like scans it and reads it and kind of determines, and you know, what's gonna take place. But if it gets kicked out of that machine, then somebody got to physically look at that and read it and then be like, oh God, I got 100 of these. I'm not reading this. Delete it. So, I mean, like I said, there are regular people like us. So if they get that information, it just might be your lucky day. So you can use colored paper to distract eOscar. You can handwrite it. That's also a good one. Make sure you be consistent when you're sending out these letters, because the process will take shorter. Again, don't be afraid to call these credit bureaus to ask them to delete anything. I've called them before and they've deleted stuff over the line. Be nice. I'm telling you. Be nice. But always ask for a U.S. rep. Please ask for a U.S. rep. Or you're going to get Ching Chong in China and they don't know what you're talking about. But they're going by what the books say. But we can't remove it because... Ask for a U.S. rep. Don't ever speak to nobody overseas because they don't know what they're doing. It's like... No. Ask for a U.S. rep. What else do I have? 17, 8. Okay, well, that's 2 years later with these inquiries. I think that's it. Let me get into some questions. I can't think of no other tips right now. I think I kind of say all the good tips and just the information about credit. And again, if you guys have any information or if you have any other questions for me, don't hesitate to call me. Well, not call. I don't take phone calls. I'm sorry. I just get too overwhelmed with calls. So, some of you got my number, but some of you call me anyway. But email me. Help me repair my credit at gmail.com. Again, I have agents that will help you credit repair for as low as $150. The do-it-yourself kit for $25. So let me get into some of the questions that I have in my group. Okay. I'm not going to say their names, but I'm just going to read over some questions and give you answers. Okay. All right. So here's a question. It says, I see lots of people trying to remove hard inquiries. I heard that removing these is a bad as it puts a red flag on your report because you're essentially saying that it was fraud, someone used your information, etc., which is what people usually say to get these removed. Red flags makes lenders more cautious of lending to you. Wondering what your thoughts are on this. Does this hold any truth? Has anyone experienced this? Now, the thing about inquiries is that you should never try to dispute an inquiry that's open unless it's actual fraud. So you could dispute inquiries that are closed and that you have no accounts that are related to that on your credit report. Like, for example, let's just say you applied for Capital One. That inquiry and you got accepted and you got an open account, then I wouldn't worry about that because you already established that credit, so that little 10% ain't gonna hurt you. So no, don't dispute that because they're gonna be like, wait a minute, well, you have an open account. No, you're lying. It's not necessarily fraud. I think she kind of got mixed up. It's not fraud. It's not considered fraud. But if you have that inquiry on your report and you have an account open and you say that it's not yours when in fact that you have the account, it's just lying. Like, so don't do that. Do it for, you know, inquiries that you didn't get accepted the car. Like if you try for Discover and they said no, then you could be like, I want this removed because I didn't, this ain't mine, you know. So just do it for inquiries like that they're closed. You could also call the credit bureau and ask them to report an inquiry because you didn't do it. But if you know you did, then that's still not considered fraud. You're lying about it, but you want it removed. So just ask them to remove it. If they say no, then no biggie. It's only 10% of your score and they're removed in 2 years. So that's fine. Okay, moving on to the next question. It says, hi group. I was a co-signer on a vehicle that was repossessed. How do I get this off of my credit? Please help. Well, It's so hard, you know, when you're the co-signer and that person makes their payment late, or they got a repo and it still affects your score. It sucks. As far as getting it off, you just got to go through the process. You don't want to call them and be like, can you remove this? Because they're going to be like, okay, you know it's your debt. Why should we? So just dispute it and see what happens. If it's removed, cool. If it's not, then just keep going from round to round. You can start off with the 609 letter that I mentioned. And if that comes back saying that it's verified, try a different letter the second time. You won't know unless you dispute it. So nobody can't sit here and tell you, oh, I can remove it. Oh, yeah, it's going to be removed. And as I mentioned, they have to go through a process. So just make sure, order the reports, look at them, make sure that is, you know, that the amount is correct. That is your deficiency balance that I mentioned earlier. The voluntary versus involuntary, make sure all that information reports accurate. If not, then you could dispute that. But you could start off with a 609 letter, so that's fine. All right, let me go to another question. Let's see. Okay. And I'm just reading them as they come up. Okay. It says, I have an auto loan that has been closed due to repo and is still showing as open on my credit. How do I get this off? Now, that depends on, like I mentioned, it's a process that they have to go through. And if it's still showing open and it's not supposed to be open, it's supposed to be closed, that's a valid reason to dispute this. You could dispute the status of this account and ask the credit bureaus to remove it. So you could actually dispute this. You still got to go through the process of, you know, round one, and if it's not removed, round two. But this would be a valid dispute because the status is wrong. It's incorrect. So they're reporting it incorrectly to the credit bureaus. So you could tell the credit bureaus that, hey, you're reporting incorrect information. You're reporting an auto loan that indicates that it's open and in fact it's not. So you can write, you can hand write that and tell them that, and you want to delete it because by law, you have to report it correctly. If not, it has to be removed. So that's a valid dispute. If I don't see anything else, then I'm just going to get out of here. And again, there are more questions, but I think I'm going to get out of here. If you guys got any more questions, again, email me. Help me repair my credit at gmail.com. If it's anything that I left out, reach out to me. I will be glad to have another podcast on this. For the credit repair specialists that have heard this, this is the information that you need to know in order to help your clients. So if you follow me on YouTube, I'm going to have like another show on YouTube for you specialists to tell you how you can get your customers, we call them clients. I'm going to have some information on that, how to get your clients. And follow me, guys. And again, I want to thank you all for listening to my episode of Let's Talk About It. And we're talking about credit. So I'm going to talk to y'all again soon. And again, thank you guys for supporting me. Please, if you're not following me, follow me. I'm on like different platforms, but whichever platform that you choose to download this podcast or any of my podcasts, go ahead, share this with a friend, a family member, anybody. Again, thanks, guys. Have a good day. Hey guys, thanks for listening again. And the winning word is magic. Again, that's magic.